from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
Right now in the Afternoon Edition, dramatic storm damage in the North Bay. A mudslide causes a major road to buckle, the impact of PG&E gas lines. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Liz is on assignment. But first, we start with breaking news. Just a sad update in the case of a missing San Francisco radio host. The medical examiner's office has confirmed that the body found near San Francisco's Pier 39 yesterday has been identified as Jeffrey J.V. Vandergriff. Host of Wild 94.9 was last seen exactly a month ago near his Mission Bay home. And a few weeks ago, his wife said she believed he would not be coming back. Vandergriff had been a well-known figure on our airwaves since the 90s and hosted the J.V. show on weekday mornings. Police say there's no evidence of foul play. The radio station confirmed the news in a statement saying, "We are devastated to know that J.V. is gone. Please keep his wife, Natasha, his family and close friends in your thoughts and prayers. J.V. will miss you, and you are forever a Bay Area icon." And we're following a developing story in Marin County where a mudslide has mangled a road in Novato, causing it to buckle and break into pieces. This all happened on Redwood Boulevard next to Highway 101. Justin Andrews is joining us live right now with the incredible images and the impact. Justin.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm pretty sure you can see it behind me here. The images are definitely impactful and incredible here. Take a look. You're looking right now at the aftermath of this mudslide. It literally cracked and shifted Redwood Boulevard here, pushing parts of the pavement into an upright position. And my photographer can pan up the hillside to the left. Yeah, you see those crews here assessing all of this. This roadway runs parallel to Highway 101. This is yet another example of the sheer power of that weather that we've been experiencing on and off for months. Obviously, roads have given way. Land and mud shifted from this last storm, causing major erosion on this hillside here. So PG&E, along with North Marin water crews, are actively assessing and deciding options on stabilizing this. Crews say that they are hoping to prevent further sliding. This mudslide moved a pretty large amount of water and mud, causing this road to buckle and break, as you see from these images here. And it took out one of the power poles. PG&E says there are two underground gas lines. One is buried underneath all of this mud, and they had to reduce the pressure on it. So thankfully, there are no homes in this immediate area, so there are no evacuations. But Olympali State Park is on the other side here, and it has amazing hiking trails and views of Mount Diablo. This road is the only way in and out of the park. It's closed, so we talked to the chief ranger here at the park.
Right now, there's no vehicle access. There's not going to be any access along the bike path or the road until this gets repaired. So people won't be able to come to the park and enjoy.
All right, so as of right now, there is no timeline on when they plan on finishing these repairs here, but crews will keep monitoring it just really to assess it as a precaution to make sure the ground doesn't shift anymore. But obviously, certainly a sight to see here on Redwood Boulevard in Novato, and I'm pretty sure it'll be a while before they get all of this taken care of. Again, crews are right here assessing and surveying what we're seeing out here as they walk past me here, PG&E crews as well. I'll send it back to you, Ryan.
Yeah, just amazing images. Doesn't even look real. Okay, thanks, Justin Andrews, joining us live. And we just got an update on repairs to 580 over the Altamont Pass. That's where erosion caused a section of the retaining wall to collapse, leading to cracks on the freeway. Caltrans closed three eastbound lanes east in Livermore this morning for repairs. The work is set to wrap up around 1:30 this afternoon, but Caltrans now says two right-hand lanes of 580 will remain closed until tomorrow. And there's still more than 25,000 PG&E customers still without power in the Bay Area, about 12,000 in the East Bay, 9,000 along the peninsula. And you may have seen a pop-up shower here or there. We caught some rain on our camera looking toward Santa Clara County from the Santa Cruz Mountains. But for the most part, the Bay Area is getting a welcome break with some blue skies and sunshine. First Alert meteorologist Mary Lee with a look at what we can expect as we get closer to the weekend. It was great to see that sunshine this morning.
Oh, yeah, Ryan, it's so nice to see catching a break from the rain from many locations at this hour with partly cloudy skies and some clearing. Here is First Alert Doppler, and you can see dry for the most part with quiet conditions, although tracking just a few spotty showers, very isolated for parts of the South Bay. You can see just how light It is really hard to make out, but just a few showers popping up for us right now. And as we move farther north up through Crescent City, Eureka, you can see all of that rain. It's closer to a weather system that we're tracking, dragging a weak cold front our way. So as we head through our afternoon and evening, there's a chance to see another hit or miss passing shower. That is a possibility, but very brief if you do see it. So that's the case as we go through this afternoon and evening. But high pressure builds in as we look to Friday into the weekend. So we're going to catch that break from the rain over the next few days and then tracking our next storm system that could bring even more heavy rain and wind. We'll talk about the timing of that. We'll also talk about, of course, the weekend forecast with some chilly morning temperatures on the way. I'll have more on the frost advisories that will be in effect this weekend and for tomorrow as well. Brian, back to you.
All right. Thanks, Mary. We'll stay with us as we cover the impact from the last storm and the next one that is coming. We're going to bring you the very latest updates on air, online, and always streaming on the CBS News app. Developing right now, investigators are on the scene of a deadly police shooting in San Jose. A police officer shot a man who was wielding a machete and had barricaded himself in a home with several hostages. It happened on Boynton Avenue. That standoff coming to an end around 11 last night. The suspect was taken to the hospital where he later died. The hostages, including two children, we're okay. Let's give you a live look at Oakland right now, where the city just took a big step toward boosting affordable housing. $63 million will help fund hundreds of new units. And Mayor Sheng Tao joining us live now, part of our new biweekly segment at noon. So good afternoon, Mayor Tao. Let's talk about this housing money. $50 million of funding coming from Measure U that passed by voters. So how will this help Oakland's housing goals? And how do you decide who gets the money?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. And not just that, but thank you to the Oakland voters for voting for Measure U. And this was a measure that did not raise any new taxes. And so when we talk about building affordable housing, this is going to be directly linked with our unhoused population and our affordable housing crisis as well. And so we are funding the affordable housing projects that are shovel ready, that are already in the pipeline, that we have been waiting for years. It's just sitting there waiting in line to be funded. And so we're excited to be bringing close to 1,000 units to, online.
And it's been a brutal winter in Oakland, like many Bay Area cities, that has seen a lot of storm damage. Tragically, a man was killed when a tree fell onto a tent in Lake Merritt. So, Mayor Tao, how is the city helping to respond to tragedies like this, and especially all that storm cleanup, and how can people get help if they were indeed impacted by the storm damage?
Absolutely. You know, this storm that we have seen this year is like no other that I've ever seen. And I think that that's the case for many of us. And so MACRO, which is our mental health response team that is housed under the fire department, they are proactively going out to really get our unsheltered neighbors into shelter. As you have stated, it is so sad that one of our unhoused residents was killed because a tree fell and toppled on top of the tent. And so we are being proactive about that part. In regards to tree downs, we have about over 200 reports of downed trees here in the city of Oakland, and that's not even adjusting accounting for trees that have fallen on Caltrans property on the freeways. And so I just want everyone to be very careful. If you see a downed tree, do not try to go under it. Please call 311 so that we can get service out. Again, our team is working around the clock, and so I just want to appreciate so much our small but high-capacity team that's doing the work.
Yeah, definitely be careful if you're outside on the trails, especially in the city parks. And we now know some city services are still impacted by that ransomware attack. Hackers got access to employee data going back years. Can you give us an update on the scope of that impact, and what's the timeline looking like to resolve this?
Yes, really appreciate the question. Absolutely. You know, this is what we're seeing as a result of decades of underinvestment into our IT account. But we are going to be shifting that and investing more into our IT account. Right now, we're about at 75% of our systems are back up and running at full speed. Our city staff, the amazing team in our IT department, are working around the clock to really get all systems up. But we are at 75% systems back up.
Also, there's an issue with choosing a brand new police chief after the firing of Chief LeBron Armstrong. Any updates on the search for the new chief?
Well, we will be working in partnership with the Oakland Police Commission. So the process on that, if I could just be really quick about it, is that it's the Oakland Police Commission that is going to move forward with the interviews and really doing the search, the nationwide search for a possible next police chief, where then they will, after interviewing all the candidates, they will refer possibly 2 to 4 candidates to me so that I can review those names. And so it is my understanding that that process has started.
Do you have a preference of whether taking someone from the outside, or do you want someone within the department?
Look, I'm an Oakland gal, and so for me, for every department, my preference is always going to be from here in the city of Oakland. However, I do know, and I do believe that Oakland deserves the best of the best. So if we find someone that isn't from Oakland, who's able to really create that transformational change around making sure that we have trust between community and OPD, and really getting us out of the federal government, then that will be what we'll go with. But again, the police commission gets the first say.
Fair enough. Well, thanks for joining us, Mayor Tells. Thanks for joining us. We'll check back in with you in another couple of weeks. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.